What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Trouble with the Snip podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on our social media page, Trouble with the Snip podcast. Got us rolling on Facebook, at least. And yeah, check all that out. And obviously, like, subscribe, do whatever you need to do to help get this out there. Maybe not this show, because there's not really a whole lot to talk about. With me is Jeremy File, and we're going to expand our range a little bit. We're stepping out of our comfort zone. We're going to talk a little professional sports too. But first, look, this podcast is based on Michigan State. Not a lot to talk about with Michigan State, as the basketball team has a COVID breakout. I don't even know if you'd really call it a breakout. Steven Izzo, Mady Sissoko, and Josh Langford, all testing positive. Izzo said, yeah, we'll play if we can. And they're not playing. So, I mean, the assumption is somebody stepped in. Nebraska getting hit hard too. Michigan able to play. But Michigan, for the first time all season, the other night against Minnesota, they didn't really show up.
No, I think it's really interesting, Tyler. Like, a lot of the things we've said this year when it comes to our teams have came true a lot. And you especially with football. And I think, I've been really 100% on the ball when it comes to Michigan now, because their one loss was because of the things that I worried about. They didn't have the depth. Eli Brooks was out, and that was kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't know that. Had an injury with his foot in practice. They say it's not major, but they're, using it as precautionary reasons. He wasn't a boot. That was freaking everybody out. That was a huge loss. You know, this is a senior guard that's been very important for this team. Their best on-the-ball defender, him and Brown both. And they don't have that. So Carr kind of got loose a little bit. Brooks would have been on him. And they just played really bad. They turned the ball over like crazy. Hunter Dickinson, his first time this year, looked like a true freshman. You're going to have those games in this conference, though. I mean, I thought it would have happened before this. So at the barn, kind of like, I guess you get a little bit of a pass. You know, like Michigan State, we've seen how poorly they played there. I don't know. But this team, I'm telling you, I will say this. And I'm getting to the point where we've been really nice. You know, we've been nice to kids. We've been – you know, we don't like to knock people. You know, we definitely explain our displeasures for things that we think are ridiculously bad.
Obviously, Trey Person, an exception to the rule.
Yeah, I've got mine right now. And, I wish the kid could hear me one day, and honestly, this is probably like a wake-up call maybe for everybody on the bench, not just Brandon Johns, who I'm going to talk about. You got to know that this is the biggest concern with this team, Tyler, is you're playing really well. But if somebody gets hurt, somebody gets in foul trouble, the big concern with this team from day one, me and you have talked about it, they don't have a lot of depth. They don't. Right. If Eli Brooks goes out, now Shondery Brown has to start. Who's the other guard you're going to play? Zeb Jackson was the guy they played, and he's not played at all. And yeah. Zeb Jackson didn't look ready. And look, man, if you're a player, and we don't like to knock college kids, these aren't pros, they're not making millions of dollars, we're not going to go at them like certain guys, but I'll tell you what, you're in the big leagues, you're in the Big Ten Basketball Conference, you got to be ready, and it's nice and fun to be hooting and hollering on the bench and getting excited when your team's playing well. Well, they need depth, and Brandon Johns, God bless him, but for 3 years, he has not learned how to play, and I just think that he's had good moments, Tyler. But that's my concern with this team. I hope Brandon Johns is the guy that can start playing better. Because if he can start playing better, this team is definitely a team to look out for. But if Eli Brooks gets in foul trouble or gets hurt or a guy misses a game because of COVID and they still play, this team's going to struggle. We've seen it. This is the proof of what I've been saying.
Yeah, and look, the thing about Brandon Johns, like, he's had his moments to step up this season. He has. And I think he played well, one or two games where he, like, legitimately played well. But he's doing that in the absence of Austin Davis. I know ultimately they're not the same position, so to speak, as Johns is more before. But look, if you have a slim rotation, you're rotating, you know, three bigs through two spots. And that's not a situation that bodes well when one of those three is not playing well.
No, you're absolutely right. And honestly, Tyler, I probably shouldn't just single the kid out because that's probably not fair. I mean, I think this pertains to everybody off the bench. I mean, I think Zeb Jackson's a freshman. He has to play well. He has to come in and give minutes. Look, A.J. Hoggard comes in and out of nowhere becomes a good player for Michigan State. Zeb Jackson has to do that. And I think you're going to see this throughout the course of the season. The things that we worried about with this team in depth is going to creep up again. And Zeb Jackson, Terrence Williams, Austin Davis, Brandon Johns, those are your guys that you're going to have to depend on to play well. And Austin Davis has been the staple. I mean, he's been the bench guy who, besides Brown, Sondre Brown obviously has been great. But, you know, if somebody's out, though, or if somebody's in foul trouble, you know, Terrence Williams, Brandon Johns, Zeb Jackson, one of those guys has to play better. And Terrence Williams has actually been very good at times as a freshman. And you almost want to give the freshman a pass. But I just think Brandon Johns, he's had some moments where he's been really, really good. And then he has these moments where I just don't get it. I guess I'm confused because he's such a talent. I mean, an athletic player, but just not figuring out how to be a threat. And I just, after 3 years, I think Foster Lawyer kind of, we're dealing with the same thing with him. I mean, it's not the same player, Tyler, but a guy that was a big-time high school player that just hasn't had a ton of big moments, you know?
Right. And, I mean, the thing is Lawyer came in short for his position, which is 9 times out of 10 the shortest position on the floor. And he obviously was slow. People anticipated him to be a shooter. This year, he's stepped up to where he's a serviceable backup. And, you know, that's something that you're talking about, is that's what Brandon Johns needs to be, is a serviceable backup. And it's not like, you know, he's one of those guys where, man, why aren't we reaching a little low on a kid like this? Aren't we going a little low through the recruiting rankings or whatever? No, like, this was a kid that Michigan State was going incredibly hard after. And so he's obviously got something there, something extra to give. It's just whether or not you reach that potential. And I mean, not to, you know, talk about Michigan State, but look, that's why I'm here. You're here to talk about Michigan, right? Not to talk too much about Michigan State, because this is concerning Michigan, is, you know, there's those guys who's just like, God, you know what? There's something else there. You see that with Brandon Jones. And you see that with Aaron Henry's. Obviously, you would rather see that coming from a guy who is a bench player as opposed to, quote-unquote, the guy. And so Michigan's been able to get by with some of that. But there's only one team really in the country who can go, who can shorten their rotation to 7 and be completely fine with it. There's one team in the entire country, and they've been that way for years, and that's Gonzaga. Nobody else can cut it the way Gonzaga does.
Well, the thing about it this year, though, is a weird year because, look, I don't know. It seems like basketball is handling it pretty well. Like, if a few guys get it, you're done. I mean, you're not going to play. So I think that is the right thing to do. I think it caused a huge controversy because football is different. It's outdoors. There's more players. You have different subs. Yeah, you can miss 21 players, but you should still play. So basketball, I think, is going to handle it where if a few guys get it, you're not going to play. So I don't think COVID will actually get in the way of the season as far as, like, cost a team a game. But as far as depth in general, just without this pandemic crap, you know, Michigan needs to have more depth. I mean, this is just it's blatant. It's there. Austin Davis has gotten hurt once this year. Now Eli Brooks has. So Brandon Johns is that guy that has to play well. He has to step up and play well. He actually did play pretty well in absence of Davis. But I just felt like watching him against Minnesota, it was like, here we go again. This kid is just not providing much. And I want it for Brandon. That's why I'm saying this. I'm not saying it because, you know, I'm knocking his play. I think there's more there for him. I think he could be a very good basketball player in this conference, yeah, which is a great conference.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping for that. But like I said, one of the guys has to step up. It doesn't have to be him. If Zeb can play better, if Terrence Williams can really just say, yeah, just give me 10, 12 minutes a game, I'll be better. He has shown that this year. So they're going to need it, though, or they're not going to – they're in conversation of winning the conference. You got to have depth or have a chance because Iowa is just – I mean, these guys look so good, and the chemistry's there. They're huge. And Ohio State looks really, really good. Illinois is still really good. They're just running into other good teams.
Yep.
And Wisconsin, you got them on the road. So they're going to have to figure it out, or they're not going to win a conference. There's no way.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately, look, if you're going to have a performance like that, you know, this week you get Maryland tomorrow, you get Purdue later in the week. You know, you have those opportunities to bounce back against teams that aren't as good as you. And you don't get to say that in the Big Ten. Everybody's as good as everybody else. Michigan is better than those two teams. So if you're going to have that meltdown, you'd rather have it against a ranked Minnesota team. It just, not that any loss is good, but it looks better. And so you'd rather have it against a ranked Minnesota team. And now you get to go and you get to play a team that really needed Jalen Smith and Anthony Cowan to hang around for another year. And you're going to need it again. And you should have an advantage over a team that's, look, literally produced just one player. They're one player, though. Yeah. The height off the bench is a little intimidating. They're one player right now, and that's Trayvon Williams, who decimated Michigan State. We're just going to talk about this part really, really quick, because yeah, I want to dive into the NFL a little bit. Covering Michigan State, of course. Hunter Dickinson, you said it was the first time he looked like a true freshman. He did it against Liam Robbins of Minnesota. It wasn't Kofi Coburn. It wasn't Luka Garza. It wasn't the Wisconsin bigs. What? How does he bounce back? Because, look, Robbins is a good basketball player, but he's not, you know, the aforementioned dominant players, which is where I think the last episode we did last week, I put Hunter Dickinson with those guys. Yeah, I said he was better than Kofi.
Well, Robbins is actually, yeah, I mean, Robbins has been actually fantastic this year. Yeah. He's a really good player. I mean, he's given a lot of big trouble.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And I'm not trying to disrespect him, but at the same time, he's not at the level Coburn or Dickinson or Garza was, but Dickinson still had those issues.
Yeah, no, I think what happened was, is give credit to Minnesota. I thought they did a really good job of doubling him, and he didn't do a good job of passing out of it, which he has done well. He rushed some passes, and Minnesota did a really good job of fooling him on some doubles and rotation. Robbins played well. They played hard. They were pissed off because they got blown out. We see this a lot in this conference where, you know, the home team seems to come out and just punch you right in the mouth. The one thing that I want to add, and when we end on this, is about Michigan real quick. And I was looking at the schedule, and I told you this, Tyler. I'm actually surprised how much easier Michigan's schedule is than Michigan State's and a few other teams, because they don't go to Iowa, and they don't go at Illinois. I didn't know that, you know, because this whole schedule thing has been crazy. If you look at Michigan's schedule, it's pretty favorable, actually. I mean, I think they actually go – to Ohio State, though, it's another weird situation where they play another really good team only at home. So only at home against Iowa, only at home against, you know, Illinois. So Wisconsin on the road, though, that will be tough. Right. And that might be the one actually, Tyler, where they don't play Wisconsin again. I have to check this again. All I know is they don't play Illinois and Iowa on the road. That's a big plus. Yeah. So they got an opportunity where – yeah, you win the next two games, you have to. You got to beat Maryland. You got to beat Purdue. You cannot lose to those two teams, one game at a time. And then, yeah, you roll the dice. You got Michigan State coming up, big rivalry game. It's always going to be tough no matter what the records are. And you got to find a way to win a tough road game. But the schedule is actually favorable because What if everybody's been saying, Tyler, oh, their schedule is going to be so difficult coming up? Not really. I mean, at Minnesota, yeah. At home against Wisconsin, Northwestern is, you know how they are. They're
hit or
good
miss.
And bad at the same time. Yeah, so it hasn't really been that difficult for them. I think it will get difficult when they obviously still do play Iowa, and then you got to go to Michigan State at the end of the year. You know, there's some tough ones coming, but it's kind of in their favor, though, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's definitely it's starting to shape out that way. At the beginning of the year, it looked brutal, and that was something I said, that Wisconsin was going to just tip off to Hades in regards to what Michigan's going to have to deal with. And look, you know, now we look at it, and Michigan's schedule seems lighter than Michigan State's, which was odd. And obviously, Michigan State's schedule is about to get a lot harder because you're going to have to start playing three games a week, or you're going to have to cram everybody in at the end of the season before you go into the Big Ten tournament to make up for the two lost games. And that is going to be brutal for a team that, like we've said all year, they're trying to cut down their rotation. But, you know, obviously, as that stuff becomes a little more clear, because it's not right now, so we're not going to dive too much into it. You know, we'll talk about that later. And we'll obviously recap the rest of Michigan's week next Monday. Also, next Monday, we may have an opportunity, pending certain medical examinations, to talk about how two former Lloyd Carr quarterbacks are leading their team to the Super Bowl. Chad Henne, look, I still have nightmares. Okay. you know, I sold a couple shirts that said Henne rhymes with douchebag outside of Spartan Stadium in 2005, and obviously, he beat us, but I made money off of him, so I was cool with it. that being said, Chad Henne came out yesterday, made one massive mistake. You look, you're up by five, 8 minutes left. The Browns are having issues moving down the field. You're in field goal range, and you're going to do what made you successful in college. You're going to throw up a 50-50 ball, except obviously these receivers are better than Braylon Edwards. Unfortunately, the defensive backs are better too. It's not Jaren Hayes. So
yeah,
you went out there, you threw up that 50-50 ball, and that should have cost them the game. Defense stepped up, and then Henne made a huge run on 3rd and 14. And then Andy Reid with the Mark D'Antonio-sized huevos snapping that ball on 4th and 1, giving Tony Romo an aneurysm, running that play with a backup. Yeah. But look, here's the thing. Chad Henne is 35 years old. He's my age. All right? And I'm not an athlete. You know, I never claimed to be. But even then, you have to have that I want the ball in my hands mentality to be an athlete at any level. Even in high school, you have to have that. Give me the ball. And, you know, obviously you have to be good on top of that. A 2-yard rub route to one of the best receivers in football is a simple play to make, but it's a backup quarterback, so everyone's losing their mind. And look, the thing is you have to make that play. That's what he did.
Well, I think the guy that gets the most credit for that should be Reid. I mean, I think I thought that was absolutely – I didn't see it coming. I don't think – I know Cleveland didn't. And I mean,
he said in his postgame, he goes, oh, everybody knew we were going to run that. He goes, let me rephrase that. Everybody on our bench knew that we were going to go for it.
Yeah. You know, and Cleveland was just completely just on their heels. They had no idea that the ball was going to be snapped.
Out of shotgun.
Great play call. And look, Chad did. Yeah, I mean, Chad made the call and made the play, excuse me. And, you know, he did make a nice scramble before that. And, you know, look, I mean, this is a good moment for him. It's It's obviously, you know, for the fans of Michigan, of course, I've been getting kind of tired of this, but, you know, he was a very, very good player at Michigan. I mean, people seem to forget quickly. I mean, he's probably the last really good quarterback we've had. And because Denard wasn't really a quarterback, you know, I mean, he was a great runner.
He was the Lamar Jackson of college football. I mean, Lamar Jackson was also
Lamar
Jackson
of
college football, but Lamar could throw it in college.
Yeah.
He can't do that in the league.
Yeah, he was a baby Lamar. I mean, he was a baby Lamar Jackson. You know, Denard Robinson was an amazing athlete, great speed, but not a real true quarterback. And that proved to be true as he gets to the NFL. But yeah, Chad was the last true good quarterback we've had. I do think Shea was pretty good his 2 years, but 4 years, Chad Henne starts 4 years in Michigan, comes in and now gets his opportunity in the playoffs and had a couple decent moments. They really need Patrick. They really need Patrick next week. I'm hoping and praying for that because I really just love watching Patrick Mahomes. But hey, Frank Clark was, you know, on the field has been a big part of that team for Kansas City. He's done a really good job. Yeah, and you know, Cesar Ruiz was in for the Saints as they lose though, and then of course Tom. Everybody has to talk about Tom every day for Michigan. So yeah, a lot of Michigan
stuff
going on for sure.
A lot of guys to keep an eye on. Rashawn Gary, another one, will be playing against Tom Brady. William Golston in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. William Golston of Michigan State. I think he's the only Spartan left after Jack Conklin got knocked out yesterday. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure because there was – I think there was it six total or five total? I knew two Spartans were on it with Conklin and Golston. And then you got Ruiz, Brady, Gary, Clark.
Does Seven Michigan punches count?
Penny.
Seven punches opted out for Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Devin punches.
No,
I didn't even know
he
was
he,
still
he
alive.
He opted out before the season due to COVID. And so I don't know if he necessarily counted for Green Bay.
No.
But
no, that doesn't count.
But yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot of talent, but obviously all eyes are going to be on the senior quarterbacks. Like I said, that U of M produced. Obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes can come out like an hour after he looked like, you know, me and Jeremy back in the heyday, stumbling out of a bar at 1:30 in the morning, you know, but an hour later, come up with the hashtag anything is possible. You know, I think he's starting to get some of his, you know, some of his cobwebs shaken out. Look, I want to see Mahomes and Allen just because it's the future of the NFL. Like, those are the two guys. You know, that is your next Brady and Manning is ultimately what that's going to be. So I want to see that. But at the same time, it would be good for Michigan to see Henne and Brady both lead their teams to the Super Bowl, even though Henne probably won't even play.
Yeah, there's no way.
He wouldn't play in the Super Bowl if he got
Chiefs fan. The funny thing about it is Michigan fans might not like this, but let's just be honest. You know, I like to tell the truth over here. That fan base was petrified, terrified when Chad Henne walked onto that field. They were, you could hear a rat fart in that stadium. I mean, they were so gosh damn scared that their chances were doomed. And when he threw that pick, I thought everyone was going to want to just kill themselves. It was horrible. I mean, even Tony Romo, who just drives me nuts, is like, this fan base is really nervous right now. I mean, it was so obvious that they couldn't. When Chad, and I think that's the explosion, is that he sucked so bad with that decision. So when he rebounded with the, I think everybody was just going crazy because they're like, thank you, Jesus. Like, this guy sucks. He's 35
and he's
years
only
old.
One, I think, you know, seven of his last 25 starts in the NFL.
This guy hasn't played football.
No, like even during the Super Bowl last year, the Chiefs went with Matt Moore over Chad Henne as the backup.
Yeah. And you know what? It's just incredible to me because Chad Henne was, I mean, he was lights out. I mean, you remember him against Florida, just lighting Urban Meyer up, which, whew, that would have been nice to have. I mean, he absolutely lit Urban Meyer up in his last game at Michigan. And, you know, obviously the Spartan moments there, but, you know, he was great against Ohio State, even though they lost the year before his last. He had some really good moments. This dude could sling it. I mean, he had a cannon and really good quarterback. So I think that kind of tells you how great you have to be a good NFL quarterback, because I think that should say so much about guys like Allen and, you know, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes. You know, there's a longer list, obviously, but just naming a few guys, like Chad Henne was a really good quarterback. He looks like a bum compared to those guys. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the greatness.
Look, and that's the thing. It's like when you have guys like, look, a career backup is not a bad gig in the NFL. Drew Stanton's made quite the living off of it. And the fact that both him and Henne are still being taken over guys who come out of college, like a Connor Cook. You know, like the.
Which is still shocking to me.
Yeah, he made plays when you need to. Wasn't the most accurate, but man, he can make them. And, you know, obviously had the build for it, could run. I mean, not run, but he was mobile in the pocket. But yeah, you know, having those two guys just, I mean, being career backups for as long as they have is, well, you know, we'll play the Breeze and Brady game as old as they are. For Stanton and Henne, but especially Henne to do it on the stage like he did. And look, he didn't score points. He almost lost the game for him, but he made the plays at the very end of the game that he needed to, and he did what backups are supposed to do. Don't blow it. And see this.
Well, you just said it best earlier yesterday, Tyler. Well, he didn't score, and they still won. That was the best thing for you. Look, I love when you said
I needed the Chiefs to go because I got the Survivor Fantasy pool. I need Patrick Mahomes, you know. But at the same time, I'm rooting against Chad Henne just being a Spartan fan. So the Chiefs won.
He didn't blow it, but he didn't really win.
Which is what backups are supposed to do.
But he didn't
and
win.
This circles back to the beginning of the show, and we'll end on this when we were talking about Brandon Johns. Don't blow it. That's your job.
Yeah. Just stop traveling. You know, when you catch the ball on the wing, stop traveling. You know, like
one
dunk
step,
the ball,
then the dribble, dude.
Make layups. When you're on defense, don't get called for a foul every time. You know, like I don't know. You know, but look, the backups are important. Like you got to do enough to help your team win, and Chad Henne did just enough. My God, they were scared, but he did just enough to get the win. So I think a lot of it, you know, if we did just an NFL show, I think a lot of this is on Cleveland, though. I think Cleveland blew it, and I have a lot of reasons for that. But we could talk about that on another platform. But I think Cleveland's going to be kicking themselves in the face because they blew that one. I mean, they had a great opportunity.
The second 15 went down. That was when they had an opportunity to take over. And you didn't quit. That's on you. Especially when Henne gives you that one. But look, that does it for us today. Like I said, we'll be back next week. Talk about Michigan rebounding. Talk about, you know, whatever's going on with Michigan State regarding the COVID situation. And could be talking about, like I said, two former Michigan alums leading their teams to the Super Bowl. And God, I can't believe I'm saying this. I am rooting for Tom Brady this weekend. All right.
Wow, that's shocking. I can't believe that either.
Look.
You really do.
This would be like a pass the torch moment too. If the Chiefs are able to advance, Patrick Mahomes goes in, beats Tom Brady, passing of the torch. I'm cool with that. So,
I'm cool with that too. Believe it or not, as a Michigan guy, I'm ready for the torch to be passed.
But after what I just said, I'm room for Tom Brady. We need to get going because I need to hop in the shower. I know you got to get back to work, but that does it for us on Trouble with Snap Podcast. For Jeremy File, I am Tyler Hayward.